It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this, what day is it? Wednesday.
Wednesday, Bubba.
Training camp underway. We're at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, the Titans facility. There are players on the field getting ready to go, ready for practice, and it's good to be here.
It is good to be here.
Are you enjoying this with the video screen?
There you are.
Mute your speakers, by the way, because I can hear myself.
Mr. Speaker, you have to mute yourself.
Your computer. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, hear it through my...
Okay, I'm getting there, pal. Don't be yelling at me. All right, we're good. All right.
Good stuff.
Yeah, all right. This is the I figured out this is the 28th training camp for the franchise in Nashville, dating back to 1997 when they started at Tennessee State. And then now here we are, Ascension St. Thomas. So it's fun. It's first day. It's great, man. Football's here.
How many of these have you been to?
All of them? I didn't come during the COVID year in 20, and that was it.
Yeah.
Everything else I was here and saw and some crazy moments throughout the years.
Yeah,
so
for
evolved.
Sure. And, I can remember being a, growing up in Bellevue, that my doctor's office was actually where the first facility was when they had – trailers, and then they had like a temporary, building with the facility there before they built this one. And it was funny. I walked out of the doctor's office one day. I was probably, 11, 12, something like that. And I'd gone for a checkup, and I walk out, and Eddie George and Steve McNair are walking into the facility, that was across the hall. And I was like, this is so cool.
Awesome. So you see that to what they have now. It's this is on par with the rest of the league. See the Chargers facility they opened up?
I did, yeah. It
looks
pretty cool.
Holy cow. I mean, pools and all that other. I mean, it's amazing. So good for them. They got money. The NFL just prints money every day.
It's funny. I just want to point out, for those of you watching on our stream, we're right next to each other, but we each have our own camera. Mm-hmm. Why does mine look like, state-of-the-art television studio, and yours looks like you're on a, flip phone from 1999.
I like it, though. I'm mysterious. The black backdrop makes me look skinny, which I need all the help I can. So it's good. But it's an exciting day, Chaser.
It is. We got the special teamers right in front of us here, watching the kickers and punters. And the offensive line are off to our left here. Getting ready. I mean, practice officially doesn't get underway for a few more minutes, but you got guys out here getting some early work in. And, you remember from your playing days, and that it's like that first day, it really does feel like the first day of school.
It does.
You get out there, and, they don't have pads on and all of that, but it's just you got the adrenaline going, and these guys are excited to put in the work. We're still, 5 weeks or so away from the season starting, but it all begins today.
I saw a great quote from a coach last night. It said, when you're playing football, the thing you hate more than anything is training camp.
Sure.
When you quit playing football, the thing you miss more than anything is training camp. And so these guys will – I get it. They hate it. They'll go through it today, but understand that, it's all part of getting better in the process. And, this is I'm anxious to see Callahan. I mean, this is his team, his franchise now, how he's going to run things, how he's going to do things. Curious to see where he spends his time.
Yeah.
I mean, does he go with the defense part of the field? Does he hang out in the offense part? I think he's going to probably – he has to do both. I mean, you're the head coach, but I think it's probably 75-25. He's on this side of the field where the offense is going forward. But that's why you hire good people that you can trust and that you can rely on. You delegate. They'll coach position up and get it done. So I'm anxious to see how he does.
Well, see, that's why, even though he's going to have his hands all over the offense and he's calling the plays, that's why you still have an offensive coordinator.
Oh, God.
So you can, as the head coach, can go on both sides. So
find it interesting that the offensive coordinator for the Titans does not coach a position. I found that very interesting, at least when I was on the website.
Isn't that usually how it is?
Usually coach quarterbacks.
Well, usually they have a quarterback's coach.
Yeah, but an offensive coordinator usually is a quarterback coach. Well, for the most part. But he does not coach a position.
I think a lot of coordinators around the league, that's just what they are. They're just a coordinator.
Well, this one here doesn't call plays, so I don't know what he does.
Well, you know what? We'll find out.
Yeah.
If we get Brian Callahan or somebody I'll ask that question.
Okay. All right.
I mean, how that works. It's good to know how this stuff works. But, and to your point, I'm kind of curious to watch Brian Callahan too, because, he said it yesterday, and this is what I really like. I like it when a coach, you know, somebody in a position like that shows their human side. And, like, one of the last questions he was asked was about, you know, like, it's basically he went into that it's his first training camp as a head coach and how special that is. And here's the other cool part. He's got his dad here, too. Like, his dad is on the coaching staff.
Yeah.
I mean, how cool is that to be able to do what you both love, but be able to do it together? And, you know, his dad's been through this as a head coach. He's in the National Football League and in college. But now he gets to watch his son, you know, kind of live that dream for the first time. I think that's really cool.
Who do we have on? It was an NFL player who said that the Browns should have totally got with the Titans and got a draft pick. The Browns shouldn't have given let Callahan go like that. Who was that? He was adamant about that.
Yeah, which I just
adamant that.
I feel like that's one of those things where somebody just had to complain about something just to complain about something, which usually starts at two. But, you know, it was kind of that. It was like that. I mean, it just like, why do you need to harp on that? Like, a dad wanted to go coach football with his son.
Yeah,
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, so.
And kudos to the Browns for allowing it.
Yeah, I get it.
Because you're right. They could have said, like, no, we're not losing him.
He's under contract, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's still, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, if you want to win on the field. But, I mean, that's great for the league. It's great for the Callahan family and moving forward. But, yeah, there's guys are still kind of trickling on the field. I always had a problem with guys who walk on the practice field. You should walk. You should be running out of that building. Does that make sense?
Well, a jog.
It's a work zone, man.
Yeah,
be working.
Yeah, like I like Derrick Henry always had like that little trot he did, you know, out of the locker room, and it's kind of like you knew, and it's interesting. You know, we've talked about how do you replace him on the field and all that. Who's going to step up and kind of replace that presence, that leadership presence that he
See,
had.
I don't think he was a leader.
Oh, I do.
I don't think he was. I think he was more of like, let's go, let's all do this together. I don't think he's one guy who stood up and tried to motivate, at least when I see him.
I disagree. I
saw him take that, and he asked about that one time. He's like, we're all just together, and we all go forward together, and so that's what.
I think he was kind of a Steve McNair type, like lead by example. You know, now he was a little more vocal than Steve was. You know, Steve was very quiet, but like Derek or Chris or anybody will tell you, like, they knew who was in charge. Like, they knew that it was his team, especially after Bruce retired. But, look, there's different ways to lead. That's for sure. So, you got the binoculars out.
I'm just looking around. I see Malik Willis over there. It's an interesting training camp for him because, obviously, you're number three. You're not going to get the reps. So, here's an example, I guess, with Malik Willis and just kind of doing it all you can for the team and going out there and every rep you get and try to make it the best rep you've ever had in your life because, you know, third team, it's going to his third year. He's probably not going to see the field at all during the regular season. And I don't know. It's just you watch those guys because, look, camp for the most part is boring.
Yeah.
So you want to watch guys and see how they're doing, how they're taking things and how they're going forward. And, you know, from all accounts, Willis has been a great teammate and didn't complain any and come in and got his job done.
I am curious of this. You know, they have the offensive linemen have the dummies down there, and they have the heads on them that they tackle.
Yeah.
Why are they all Mike Vrabel? That's weird. Just kidding.
Oh, my Lord. How creepy is that? Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Wait, one of those is Jared.
You have 10 dummies, but if you walk on the practice field at like 4 o'clock in the morning and see that,
I'm
running away, man.
You talk about running into practice, you'd be running out of practice.
Oh, absolutely.
But to your point on Malik Willis, and it's funny, in the morning show was talking about it, and Dustin in Hopkinsville said, if Willis gets back up, it's because Rudolph's injured or has a terminal illness. I don't see a scenario where Malik Willis is the backup on this team.
Not at all.
The question is, because of the third quarterback rule that they put in place last year, do they carry three quarterbacks? Because the rule states that, like, you can have the emergency quarterback on game day. He doesn't take up an active spot,
right,
but he can be dressed, and if both quarterbacks get hurt, he can come in. But he has to be on your 53-man roster. He can't be like a game day call-up or something like that is how I understand the rule, unless they change that this year. So if that's the case, then my guess is he's probably going to make the team at least out of camp unless they decide to look around and find a better third quarterback.
Well, I guess he's still under contract, right?
For
this year. I mean, if serviceable, he's a third
round pick.
Sneak him onto the practice squad. I just, there's a lot of unknowns with him that go forward, but we're talking Malik Willis 7 weeks from now, then this Titans season has gone started off very badly.
And the thing that you want to see for him is in these preseason games, in these joint practices, you want to see him do well, because I think that really what would be best for him is to go somewhere else, you know, to get an opportunity elsewhere. And if he puts enough on tape, maybe he could do that. I don't know.
You're right.
He's definitely not a starter in this league. I don't even know if he's a backup in this league. But you want to see him get a fair opportunity.
No, you're right. Our good friend Tim Hasselbeck told us, try for all 32 teams, and they all tell you,
yeah,
we don't want you.
Right.
Keep doing it. I didn't know who the backup for – you know who the backup for Patrick Mahomes is?
Oh, yeah. Is it Flacco? No. Who they just signed?
Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
I saw a video this morning. They're walking, and he falls down on the practice field, and they're all laughing. I was like, oh, that's where he is now. It's an example of Carson Wentz. Just
that's right, because –
keep landing somewhere.
Who is his backup forever? Just retired.
The guy from Michigan.
Chad Henne.
Yeah.
Wasn't Gabbert there last year, too?
I think, yeah. So But here's and Dr. Crane, welcome in. Good to hear your voice. How are you?
Phenomenal. Good to hear from you guys as well. Hopefully the weather's nice out there.
Oh, yeah. It's a little cloudy, but it's not too bad. I still say the best job in the world is be a backup quarterback to a guy that's never not going to play. Like, Jim Sorgi, to me, had the best job forever, because at that point in Peyton Manning's career,
right,
he was never coming off the field.
Well, that's the same. Doug Peterson backed up Brett Favre in Green Bay. Same thing with Sorgi. But see, I'm a competitor. I want to compete. I don't want to sit there. And I get what you're saying. It's great because you guaranteed paycheck and a guy doing all the work. I'd want to compete with that. And again, we go back to the 1999 season. Nobody knew of Kurt Warner. That was Trent Green's team. And the preseason game, I mean, he gets his knee blown out awful. And then Kurt Warner comes in. And he's in the Hall of Fame. So you make the most of your opportunity and your chance, and God forbid something happened to Mahomes, and if Carson Wentz gets in there, and he hadn't really proven himself to be great overall, but you just never know. You just keep grinding and finding a way to get in there, and anything can happen.
615-737-1025, that's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're live today at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park Titans training camp. John McClain going to join us, as he always does, at 9:30. We'll have a guest on with us from here, but welcome your text. What's on your mind for training camp? What's kind of your thoughts as practice gets underway today? What are you looking for with Titans training camp? Plus, Andy has an interesting point when it comes to Malik Willis. We'll discuss that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here at Titans training camp today. And
love it.
Joe Rexroad is here. Everybody here. They just let the general media in. And they're median generally, something like that. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Trying to be creative and it didn't work there.
General Booty?
Yeah, General Booty. Something like that. Thank you, Mr. Joe. Appreciate that.
Sure thing, Mr. Chase.
Appreciate that, Mr. Joe.
Hey, you had your 3 hours. Get out of here.
So things are getting underway here at Titans training camp. Now I guess practice is officially underway. As Rex wrote, is disheveled.
You know, he's a great writer, but you know, writers don't need pens anymore. He's asking for a pen.
Right. No, they type now.
That's right. So I've got my binoculars so I can see if Teandre Sweat's out here or what's going on.
By the way, Stillman had a hilarious line yesterday talking about him, because, you know, he's good. You know, everybody says he's good, showed up and all that stuff, looking great. And Jared goes, I want to see if those fast feet can move that big ass.
Oh.
And that made me laugh so hard. But it's true. And I think if you get him in shape, and I don't know how much weight they want him to lose, but you get him in shape, he's going to be a problem. He's going to be a problem next to Jeffrey Simmons.
I told you. Go look at his tape at Texas. When he's motivated, good to go, you can't block him.
I want that pick to work out just so Rand Carthon can sit there and just have a grin on his face.
You know, hey, are those fast feet going to match that big ass?
That's it. That'll be a drop.
Hear that voice. I get PTSD immediately.
But look, I want this pick to work out because I liked him. I mean, I liked him in the second round, and there's some people that, you know, say, hey, good pick, or they wanted their team to have it. There's some people that said it was a reach. You know, that's one of those that can help make or break a GM. Like if you reach, not reach, but if you take a guy where you think that's where you should take him, and then it works out, you look like a genius.
So we just got the okay, I see him. He's out there. Good Lord, he's massive. So we got the depth chart, and we got the roster. Not the depth chart. We got the roster. He's listed at 6'4", 366.
Oh.
So you're thinking that's pretty accurate, right? Because we just got this 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So, again, Sweat and Simmons in the middle and get good pass rush off the side. I mean, there's potential on the defense. Got to see it. We got to see how it works in the not the preseason, the regular season. But this Titans defense has some potential with some players. Now, can they come together? That's the beauty of all this, Chase. We have to wait and see week one how it goes. But if you're a Titans fan, it's not all doom and gloom because there are some players out here that have come together and they can gel. This could be pretty nice.
Yeah, 100%. Now, we were talking about Malik Willis and kind of his role. Andy said, couldn't they throw in a triple option with Willis? With our two backs and Willis all can run, work in the pass.
No.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say no on that.
What was it last year, Levis's first start? Didn't Willis come in and didn't he fumble?
He fumbled and turned the ball over, and then he almost did it again the second time, and fans started booing. And, you know, there was this whole, well, don't boo him. And it's like, well, they weren't booing him. They were booing the decision to put him in. Like, it wasn't his fault. But, yeah, you know, that was my thing. It's just I don't remember the coach that said it. But you know the old saying is in college football, you know, if you have two, you don't have
– Bill Parcells said that.
You don't have one.
You have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. Yep.
Right. And that's just kind of how I feel with this, that this is Will Levis's team. I know that we live in an age and love gadget plays and, you know, like we've seen what New Orleans has done and all of that.
Right.
I don't see it here.
To me, there's one coach in the NFL.
I see the great Mike Keith. He's here.
He's great. He doesn't talk to us.
BGA legend.
July to January doesn't talk to us, but we get him in February. there's one coach in the National Football League who would run a triple option with Malik Willis. Who do you think that is? There's one coach in the National Football League that would run that play. If Malik
Dan
Willis.
Campbell?
No. That's a good one, though. He's not smart enough to do that. There's
would
one
run
coach.
The triple option with Malik
out of the out of the just out of the blue, in the middle of a game, if this guy was your – if Malik was a backup on this team, that one coach would run a triple option in the middle of the game.
McVay?
Nope.
I don't know.
Keep going. You got one more guess. Think about it. Who did the ring around the rosy on the one-yard?
Oh, Andy Reid.
Andy Reid. Yeah. Andy Reid would so run a triple option in the middle of the game
and
just
look,
because.
I'll say this.
That's what he would do.
For a player, and I say this meaning no disrespect to Brian Callahan and the staff here, but like a guy like Malik Willis, I think needs to be with a coach like Andy Reid, a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, you know, a three-time Super Bowl champion organization. Plus, I think Andy's such a good offensive mind that you're right, he probably could get something out of him. And run that, but I don't want to see that here. I mean, this is
no, and you won't.
And this is coming from somebody that I love gadget plays. Like I'm the one on Madden or college football that's running the triple option revert, double reverse, halfback throw or whatever. Like I love that stuff,
right?
But it just so rarely works because these defenses are just too good now.
Well, you don't practice. They don't. Yeah,
right.
That's the thing.
So you gotta be. You just got to be careful when you pull that stuff out.
No, you're right. It'd be great. I watched a video last night of the strike season of 1987, the Giants and the 49ers with scab players. Bill Walsh worked the whole week on the triple option. So when they go play the Giants, they run the triple option during the game, and Bill Parcells couldn't stop laughing. He's like, because you don't see that in the National Football League, and Bill Walsh pulled that out on him. So you wouldn't do that. Now it's the RPOs. You get the guys out in space and all that. And, you know, it's funny. They asked Nick Saban, is if you go back as your first job as a head coach, I think it was Kent State in 1990 or something, what would you do? What would you wanted to know then? He's like, I'd have put in the spread offense.
Yeah.
He goes, I would not have run the option, not run the RPO, not, you know, the eye bone or all that stuff, I would have run the spread offense in 1990. Get as many players in space as you can and make things happen. Can't cover them all.
What's so funny about that is, like, I remember it was, what, the late 90s, early 2000s when the spread really came on? Or really the end of the 2000s, because it was like there were so many teams that, you know, if they ran the spread, it's like, they're not going to make it in the NFL.
Right.
Like quarterback. Like if a quarterback came out of the spread offense, like, I don't know if the NFL is going to touch them. And now it's like.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of a derivative of the West Coast offense. So, look, Bill Walsh, and you go back, is one of the most underrated. And I know he won a couple Super Bowls, and I get all won three Super Bowls. But the offense he put in, and now Andy Reid runs basically the West Coast spread, yeah. All that started with him. And that's the thing. You know, there's an interview I read one time with Miles Davis, who created the run and shoot. He's like, there's no way you're going to cover all my guys. But then again, if you got all these guys running in space, quick example of a game. Houston used to run the run and shoot college, right? Yeah. They go play Miami in 1991. David Klingler's the coach of the quarterback of the Houston Cougars, and they're beating people to death. Miami did one thing. They had two guys on the edge. Their only goal was go after Klingler, and they went after Klingler. Miami wins the game like 61-7, and that was kind of the end of the run and shoot.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're blitzing guys off the edge, quarterback scared. So now the spread comes out. You kind of get more protection for your quarterback. Plays took a little longer to develop, and they've been fantastic. You see, it's overtaken the NFL now.
Yeah, for sure. 615-737-1025. We have a lot to get into here at Titans training camp, but coming up next, the great John McClain will join us. Houston opened their camp last week, but we'll get his thoughts on some early storylines from Titans camp. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game live today at Titans training camp, Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, as they are on the practice field for the first time this season. Houston Texans opened their camp last week. We say hello now to John McClain, who joins us from Houston every week at 9:30 here on Wednesdays. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, it's finally here. It's like the first day of school. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. We're out here watching the Titans have their first practice. And look, I know you're not going to take too much away from the first practice, but I think the thing that we're all watching is how this team adapts to Brian Callahan's way of doing things, his new offense, how Will Levis will work in that new offense. So, you know, what's it kind of been like the first few days of Texans camp is – they get ready to go into year two now under D'Amico Ryans and what he's done there.
They're on their sixth practice because they play the Bears in the Hall of Fame game, so they get that extra game, which they're glad about because they have a lot of new players, especially on defense, and they can have as many as five new starters because they know, considering the first-place schedule and the quarterbacks they'll play, the defense has to be better. And so last year when you – there's nothing more exciting than when you have a new head coach who is an offensive coach and you have a quarterback drafted high in the first round. And that's the way it was last year. At this time, we had no clue what the Texans were capable of, no clue about Stroud. And so people always ask me, how do the Texans look? And I say, in 48 training camps I've been going to, I've never been able to tell anything until they start playing. People that look good, there's August All-Stars, as Randy Cross, the CBS broadcaster and 49ers guard used to call them, guys you get excited about in August, and then they disappear when the season starts. But in the Titans' case, and not just Brian Callahan, but Bill Callahan, and I know everybody's given Bill a lot of attention because he deserves it, but I think a lot of fans may underestimate how good he is and the impact he can have on the team, not just the offensive line of the offense, but the team. You know, he's been a head coach. You know his son is going to talk to him about advice. You know his son is going to be open to advice, so he can have a humongous impact on the team overall. And then with all the emphasis on Will Levis going into his second year, how hard he worked in the offseason, how he'll adapt to new offensive coaches and Callahan. Has Callahan said, is he going to call plays?
He is. He is going to call the plays.
All right, he's going to call plays for the first time, so that's going to be interesting to watch him do that. And you know he's been eager to do it. He's learned from others, including his dad, and he watched Zach Taylor do it. So Callahan is the play caller, Callahan is the coach, and it's and you know you feel bad for the defense, but the fact is training camp is about the offense because nobody goes full contact anymore. They're too worried about getting hurt in the salary cap, but it's the offense that sells the tickets, and I know people are really excited, as they should be, about the Titans in 2024.
Yeah, for sure. And John, I'm curious of this. When you were talking about getting advice from his dad, but it, you know, he's an offensive-minded coach. He's going to call the plays. If you're him, first practice, you know you got to have your hands all over the offense, but how important is it to find that balance of knowing what's going on with the defense? You got your defensive coordinator that's going to essentially be your head coach of that side of the ball, but you know Vrabel was I thought very good about knowing what was going on throughout the entire football team. He's had years of just knowing what was going on with the offense, being the offensive coordinator in Cincinnati. So how much of a transition is it for the head coach to kind of have to be to learn that, to learn every aspect of his team and not just one side of the ball?
I'll give you an example. D'Amico Ryans played linebacker, he's defensive coordinator. He came in, he brought Bobby Slowick with him from San Francisco to be the offensive caller, and offensive coordinator and a play caller for the first time. And he would go on both sides of the ball in practice and camp, and he also would want to talk to Bobby about the game plan, but he's a play caller on defense. So he had to focus on defense, even though he wanted to know what the plan was on offense. And Brian Callahan's going to be that too. Defense isn't his specialty. Offense is. He'll want to know what's going on, but he's going to have his hands full as first-time play caller. When Gary Kubiak was hired by the Texans in 2006 from the Broncos, I went to Denver to do stories on Gary, and Gary was a former quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, and Mike Shanahan had been through the same thing as an offensive coordinator becoming a head coach. He said, when you're an offensive coach and you're a head coach for the first time, you want to do everything. And he said, it's hard enough when you call plays and you got to keep up with game management and the clock. You got to have good people up in the box helping you. And he said, and at some point, you learn how to dial it back and focus just on what you're doing, and eventually you delegate more. And it's hard for a first-year coach to delegate. I did a column on D'Amico Ryans last week for HoustonTexans.com in which we talked about the transition into his second year compared to the first. He said, it's night and day. He said, the things I know now that I didn't know I'd been told and I thought I did going into my first year, when everything, you have new responsibilities of being in charge of everything, and you want to have your hands in everything. And right now I feel so much better because he knows what his coaches can do. He knows better what his players can do, and he finds that he's delegating more, even though he's still going to call the defensive signals. So that's something Brian Callahan will have to figure out on his own. He knows it. Yeah, he's been told it by a lot of coaches. You watch, you learn, you talk to Zach Taylor about it. But until you sit in that seat and you are in charge of the plane and you're flying it, you still don't know for sure. So he's going to go through a learning process, just like Will Levis is as a quarterback. And I can't overemphasize how valuable it is to have his dad there. And they should thank Kevin Stefanski and the Browns for letting him out of his contract, because they let a damn good coach go.
No doubt about that. John McClain joins us from Houston.
John, always good to talk to you. You talk to a lot of the writers around the league, and when you talk to them about the Titans, what's the 1,000-foot view that they give of this franchise, of this football team right now?
They don't know, because you got a new head coach, right? You have a GM going into his second year, has full authority, not sure about the quarterback. Next year will be a better time to ask that question. You know, most people say, well, they're last place team. But can they hit all the right things and go from worst to first like the Texans? This time last year, Texans were coming off third consecutive three-win season. Nobody predicted them anything but last place. And then they made that tremendous jump. Now people are getting their hopes and expectations so high. The Houston Chronicle had a story yesterday, first they had Fan Day, and boy, they're all predicting the Super Bowl. And the team's not doing that. The coaches go out of their way not to do it. But it's hard for the fans not to be fired up. But around the league, it's a wait-and-see approach with the Titans. New head coach, new quarterback going into his second year. And it's interesting for Levis has got to show he can be the guy. Because new head coaches usually, they want their quarterback. So he's got to convince Brian Callahan that I'm the guy, and he's being given every opportunity. And Rand Cawthorn took advantage of having money under the cap to put weapons around him, and they've improved the offensive line so much the last 2 years. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And that being said, you know, what was it about C.J. Stroud? You know, we're talking about Will Levis here, John, that C.J. Stroud that you knew, was there a certain moment last year like, this guy's got something? I mean, was it in camp? Was it halfway through the season? When did you know that Stroud was different?
Now, we didn't know anything in camp. D'Amico Ryans wouldn't even name him the starter till the week before
wow.
the season started. And one of the things that when you have a veteran quarterback who started for 2 years like they had with Davis Mills, we all knew Stroud was going to start. We knew he was going to start day one. But they rotated first-team snaps because a really smart head coach knows that teammates have to understand why a quarterback is playing. Why he's playing ahead of a veteran. They need to see it, too. See it in practice. So when you make the move, they all think that's a good move. That's why in Chicago, they anointed Caleb Williams so fast. And everybody thinks the Bears could be in first place. I don't. And they're putting just enormous pressure on rookie quarterbacks. And there's not many that have seasons like C.J. Stroud has had. Russell Wilson did, Dak Prescott did, Andrew Luck. But if you look at all the quarterbacks who have been drafted, there's a transition period. And Caleb Williams, boy, he's got the pressure on him. And I didn't know that Stroud could possibly not even have the season he did, but they lost their first two games, started 0-2. They trailed the Colts. And he threw for 190 yards in the fourth quarter. Now they still lost, but he was airing it out. Of course, they were playing a lot of zone. But I thought then maybe, and then they go to Jacksonville and win by 20, and that's the first time I thought he could be special as a rookie. You know, you thought all along, second overall pick, they
right.
think he's going to be special. But I had no clue what he was going to do as a rookie and I still didn't have a clue. But I just thought then, to answer your question, Joe, kid's got a chance to be special sooner rather than later.
Good. He is John McClain from Houston joining us. We'll have more with him coming up next. Chasing Big Joe live today at Titans training camp at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, 102.5, 106.3 the game.
Any thought on DeAndre Hopkins and extending him? Like, have you talked to Kelton and those guys about that at all?
We've identified a number of guys that, you know, we'd like to continue to move forward with. You know, and eventually take care. But you guys have heard me. You know, we're going to keep family business in, you know, in terms of talking about their contracts and what's next for them. But we as a staff, we have identified some guys that, you know, we'd like to have here, you know, long term.
Is DeAndre one of them?
He's one of the guys that's on our team. And and we've talked about a number of guys on the team to have those conversations. You know, one thing I appreciate about D-Hop is if you guys have gotten to know him, D-Hop is straightforward. And, you know, and D-Hop and I, we can have some straightforward conversations, and we have and we do. And so D-Hop knows how we feel about him, you know, and I think that's a big thing, especially for a veteran, you know, at this stage in his career. And I think the way he's shown up here, the way he's bought into a new staff kind of shows how he feels about us and what we have.
Titans general manager Rand Carthon yesterday. Chasing Big Joe live today. Titans training camp, continuing our conversation with John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. You know DeAndre Hopkins very, very well. And that is a question that we've kind of been asking this summer. Should the Titans go ahead and try and lock him up for at least another year? It worked last year. We think it's going to continue to work this year. He's obviously a important piece to a young quarterback. What do you think could be a fair agreement to keep DeAndre Hopkins with the Tennessee Titans and let him continue to grow along with Will Levis?
No, I have no idea about how much money it would be. You know, the day the young guys want $30 million, like Justin Jefferson wants, the Texans got Nico Collins done early, and they got him for $23 million a year. Now, he's only had one great year, but he's still young and got a long time to play, where D-Hop's in the twilight of his career, and he knows it. One of the things about Hopkins is I've talked about this before on a lot of my weekly shows, is DeAndre Hopkins' game has never been about speed, so you don't really slow down. You know, if he's not a burner running down, running post routes, getting behind the secondary, that's not what he's all about. He's about toughness, fighting for the ball, great hands, works like crazy to get open on game days, and even if he's not open, you can throw in the ball along the boundary, especially when you cross midfield, because if he doesn't get it and it is intercepted, the other team's still got a long way to go. But he's great for a young quarterback, and because he's going to be in the right spot, and he knows how to make adjustments, and that's important, especially when you're with a young quarterback. And I think that, I don't know how long they want to do it, but they need him not only this year, but next year as well, because the transition that Will Levis is trying to make to a franchise quarterback, he's going to need those quarterbacks next year. A much bigger question to me, watching from afar in his third year, can Treylon Burks do what Nico Collins did in his third year? Nico had flashed his first 2 years, but he'd been nagging injuries off and on. And so last year, we didn't think much about Nico going into camp. He'd made a lot of exciting plays in training camp before. He did it again this year. That year, he stayed healthy for the most part, and he had a great young quarterback that threw the ball. So Hop is not a question other than contract, but I can't wait, and I know y'all are the same way, to see if Burks can take that next step. If he can't, he needs to be gone.
John, you're such a legend to cover the National Football League. We're going to get your advice on this. Coming up at 10:30, Tony Pollard is going to sit with Chase and myself. What's something you want to know, John, that you would ask Tony Pollard?
Historically, guys who blow out their knees have their best year the second year back. And that's because they can be 100% and they can have confidence, but they always say, and this is rare, that a guy comes back and was better the first year. Adrian Peterson's a great example of a guy that was. It's subconsciously that they, and so I would, does he feel like that? And he may not even know it. But I'll guarantee you, unless he ends up splitting time with Spears 50-50, he's going to be better this season than he was last season with the Cowboys. And I would be guessing that he'll say that's true. He may not say it about his knee, but he's got to have more confidence in his knee now than he did last season when he barely got 1,000 yards. With a 17-game season, odds are he's not going to play every game, but you want the consistency of getting over 1,000 again. So that's what I would want to know from him, the confidence level he has. Being with a new team, you know, there's always an excitement with that. You want to prove yourself to your teammates, your coaches, your fans, and this will be a time for him to do it. And I thought that was a tremendous move, and I'm still surprised the Cowboys let him go. I'm stunned the Cowboys didn't get Derrick Henry, because right now the Cowboys have no running game, which puts even more pressure on Dak Prescott, which is what you do not want, especially when you get to the playoffs.
John McClain is with us. Yeah, the Cowboys decided to bring Zeke Elliott back, which I don't think he has much left in the tank. We've talked to you about T'Vondre Sweat before. We got the roster this morning they handed us. He is listed at 6'4", 366. Now, I don't know how accurate that is, but I look and I see a very, very large man over on the other side of the field. And I know there's been a lot of talk of, okay, he needs to lose a little bit of weight. He needs to work on some footwork and things. To me, this is one of those make-or-break kind of picks for Rand Carthon that I really, really, really hope works. Because if it does, seeing what he did at Texas, he can be a problem next to Jeffrey Simmons.
Absolutely, he can be a problem next to Simmons, and Simmons knows how much he could help it. I'll tell you something the Texans do that drives me crazy. They put, when they're drafted, their college weights that they're listed in college, and most colleges lie about how tall they are, and they never change them. And I ask them every year, can you please give us accurate weights? You list Will Anderson Jr., 243. He was that as a sophomore at Alabama. He was 255 at the combine. I asked him last year. He's 260. And my philosophy is, if a guy works his butt off to get stronger or lose weight, people ought to know it. Now, go back and look at the combine and see what he weighed. You know, right there in 360 is what the Longhorns used to list him. And I think it'll take him a year to become a true pro, get his diet under control, be able to eat and work out all the time over at the Titans facility, because you know he's got a chip on his shoulder. He's tired of hearing about his weight. But when you've been able to eat like he has, and he used to make jokes about it in Austin about eating what he wanted, and all of a sudden you got to eat healthy, it's tough for some guys to do that. But over that first year in the NFL, they learn to adjust and what it takes to be a pro. But I know he'll play his tail off against the run, and one reason everybody liked him so much is, for a guy that size to have that kind of quickness he does, he can be disruptive, but you run out of gas. And that's why I think this time next year we'll probably be talking about sweat, doing a lot of sweating. It ended up in the 340 range, and if he were, he would have been a first round pick.
John, is it much different from when you started? Like, if a guy misses one or two training camp practices, I'm sure back in the day it's like, what's going on? What's happening? Now it's just, you know, they get rest days. It's a formality. It's no big deal. You see it as no big deal these days as it was posed back, you know, 20, 30 years ago when a guy missed a day or two of camp?
The only thing that's big deal today is that they come in and they're not in shape. You want to get on a coach's bad side, that happens more than anybody. And anything you can do is come in and be out of shape, because they just hound you about during that break between the end of the mini camp and reporting to training camp. Work out. Don't go home. Like, and they said Albert Haynesworth could go to his grandma's and spend a weekend and gain 20 pounds because he's cooked so well. And that's what they tell those big guys. Don't go see grandma and gain 20 pounds in a weekend. And you don't hear a lot about this happening today. The Oilers used to have a fat man's table in which they had to eat healthy and on diets. And you talk about players in bad moods. You were afraid to walk by them, and their teammates would walk by them with steak and desserts and just make them meaner and ornerier. And you don't see that much anymore. But the best way to find out what a guy is, check out his combine. That's like the Texans list Tank Dell. 5'10", 165. Well, he shrunk 2 inches from the University of Houston to the combine, so he's 5'8". So I list guys what they were at the combine because they're much more accurate.
John McClain joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. John, it's good to talk football as we sit here and watch practice, and I know you'll be out at the Texans practice as well. Thanks so much. We'll talk next week.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much, and I hope you guys enjoy camp.
Absolutely. John McClain, HoustonTexans.com, joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. We'll have more from Titans training camp, including Tony Pollard, Titans running back, will join us when practice is over around 10:30 or so. Do that in hour number two of the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.